Yes, we are coming to the end of Luke's gospel. Luke set out to provide an orderly account based on the testimony of eyewitnesses so that his readers would know who Jesus is and what he has done. And in his final chapter, Luke 24, Luke focuses on three resurrection day events to prove that Jesus is alive. On the first day of the week, he is not found among the dead because he has been raised. That same day, he walks to Emmaus and breaks bread with friends to reveal that what the Bible said about him is true. And they run to tell his disciples. And then suddenly he appears amongst them, truly alive, in flesh and blood. Let's read about how that Easter day ends and where we go from here. Luke 24, I'll be reading verses 36 through 53. After the friends from Emmaus had come to tell them, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Luke's gospel ends as it began, with people in the temple worshiping and praising God. Maybe you remember Luke 1. Zechariah was serving God in the temple when an angel told him that his son would prepare the way for the Lord. And then an angel told Mary that she would give birth to the Son of God. And both of them responded with songs of joy and praise. Our passage today ends with joy and praise, but he begins in fear. The disciples who were huddled in the upper room were confused by the stories they were hearing about Jesus being alive. How could it be? And then when Jesus himself suddenly appeared, they thought he was a ghost. How could he be anything else? Something about him looks familiar. Yet how does someone suddenly appear without using the door? And the dead do not come back to life, right? To the befuddled disciples, Jesus first speaks peace. Peace be with you. All will be well. Peace. Look, see and believe. Here are my hands and feet. I'm not a ghost. You can touch me. It's really me in the flesh. They're so astonished and filled with joy. It says, but it's got to be too good to be true. How can it be possible? So Jesus asks for something to eat, and they offer Galilean tilapia. And Jesus eats. Jesus really is alive. He is here among them in the flesh. And this third event also repeats the message we've heard from the angels at the empty tomb and from the companion on the road to Emmaus. Remember what Jesus told you. It's the same thing that the Holy Scriptures, the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and even the Psalms have been telling you. The Son of Man, the Messiah, had to suffer, and then he would be raised. That suffering and death and resurrection would lead to repentance and forgiveness of sins. Everything, it says, everything in Scripture pointed to Jesus. And everything we ever preach since that day points to Jesus. It's why that book we give to our little ones is called the Jesus Storybook Bible, where everything whispers his name. Because every story points to God's great rescue plan, his plan to redeem God's people from sin and death. And this has been the message all along. Immediately after Jesus had opened their minds to understand that the scriptures had been pointing to Jesus, the Messiah's death and resurrection, Jesus gives them a mission. You are my witnesses. I'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. Just wait in Jerusalem. And then he led them out and blessed them and rose into heaven, still in the flesh. Not sure how that worked, but that is what is true. And they worshiped him and went back to Jerusalem to wait with great joy. And they gathered at the temple to constantly offer praise to God. Now, it almost sounds like all this happens on the same day of resurrection, the way Luke tells it here. Maybe that's because it is all connected. Resurrection, teaching about how the Messiah's death and resurrection brings repentance, the mission to be witnesses, the ascension and waiting for the Holy Spirit's power, it all bursts forth from the discovery of the empty tomb. And yet, in his next book, The Acts of the Apostles, Luke does provide more context. There are 40 days of teaching that actually come between Resurrection Day and Christ's ascension, and then a few more days of waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Maybe here, Luke just wants us to focus on the great joy and praise of the disciples as they celebrate the risen and ascended Lord, and as they wait to become powerful witnesses of all that they had heard and seen in Jesus. We also are called to celebrate Christ's resurrection, as we've been doing for now 3 weeks, and we are called to become witnesses of all these things. One way that we also become Christ's witnesses is when we proclaim the truths we learn from his life and ministry and other scriptures, and when we offer hope in the good news of Jesus Christ. This faith, what we believe and our hope, is summarized in the creeds. We say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and buried. And the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. And we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, did you hear that? The resurrection of the body. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that today. Because of Christ's resurrection, we believe in resurrection for our bodies too. Because Jesus rose in the flesh, we too will be raised in our flesh. The fact that Jesus ascended means that we even now have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. And the resurrection of the body means not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ, our head, but also my very flesh, My very flesh will be raised by the power of Christ and reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. What a mystery. God's plan to rescue God's children from sin was fulfilled through the redeeming death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And his plan also includes the resurrection of our bodies. The body of Jesus rose in the flesh, and our bodies will be raised in the flesh. This is part of the testimony of the scriptures, even of the Old Testament. Do you remember Job? Job was that righteous man who was tested through great loss and suffering. And even in the midst of it all, he professed, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." In our flesh, we will see God. Esau Macaulay is a biblical scholar and professor of New Testament at Wheaton College. He wrote about the radical Christian belief of the resurrection of the body in a New York Times essay, "What Good Friday and Easter Mean for Black Americans Like Me." And I think we all can learn from what he wrote. He wrote, "Jesus' resurrection has implications not just for his body, but for all bodies subject to death. Christians believe that what God did for Jesus, he will do for us. The resurrection of Jesus is the forerunner of the resurrection of our bodies and restoration of the earth. There are endless debates and speculations about what type of bodies we'll have at resurrection," he says. "Will we all have the six packs of our dreams? Will we revert to the bodies we had in our 20s? He says, "I don't find these questions that intriguing. What is compelling to me is the clear teaching that our ethnicities are not wiped away at the resurrection. Jesus was raised in his brown, Middle Eastern Jewish body." And Macaulay writes, "When my body is raised, it will be a black body, one that is honored alongside bodies of every hue and color. The resurrection of black bodies will be the definitive rejection of all forms of racism. At the end of the Christian story, I am not saved from my blackness. It is rendered everlasting. Our bodies, liberated and transfigured but still black, will be the eternal testimony to our worth." Macaulay says, "I am often asked what gives me hope to go on, given the evil that I see in the world. I find encouragement in a set of images more powerful than the photos, videos, and funerals chronicling black death. The vision of all those black bodies who trusted in God, called back to life, free to laugh and dance and sing. Not in a disembodied spiritual state in some heavenly afterlife, but in this world, remade by the power of God." Macaulay has a vision of black bodies and brown and light-skinned bodies, what Scripture promises, that all who believe will be raised because Jesus was raised in the flesh. One of our baptismal songs captured this idea. A new creation calls us. A new creation. God's Son, first born from the dead, makes the drowning which befalls us into cleansing birth instead. As Christ redeems, the Spirit brings new life. And as Christ was the firstborn from the dead, we also one day will rise from the dead and enjoy life in the new creation. Our confidence in bodily resurrection is rooted in Luke 24 and in the other Gospels, and even in the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church. I'm reminded of one of my last visits with Al Vanderlucht, a kneeling saint with deep faith in the resurrected Lord. Near the end, Al's body was getting more frail, but he was still able to sit in his living room to receive visitors. And on that visit, I asked whether there was a particular scripture he'd like me to read. He asked for 1 Corinthians 15. I smiled and I took a deep breath because I knew this chapter and I sensed why he chose it. Near the end, it's all about resurrection. It's about the resurrection of Christ, about resurrection from the dead, about resurrection of the body. It's about the truth of the gospel and the foundation of our faith. Well, instead of me trying to summarize all of 1 Corinthians 15, let me read just parts of that marvelous chapter. If you'd like to look at it yourselves, it's on page 1787 in your pew Bibles. It's a long chapter. I'll just read parts of it. Paul writes, verse 3, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And let's not forget the women who also saw Jesus raised. And then Paul continues, after that, Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living at the time that Paul wrote. Verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Verse 20, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Verse 51, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen and amen. Alleluia. As our opening hymn proclaimed, had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our hope would be in vain. But now has Christ arisen, and in that we have hope. Peter's letter to the Christians in Corinth and Luke's gospel have the same purpose, to give us hope in the risen Lord. They remind us that Jesus is the Messiah who was promised. He came to conquer death, to bring forgiveness of sins, and to offer the gift of new life. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we also look forward to life even after death. Life imperishable, life in the flesh, in a new creation. And we who believe this, we also become flesh and blood witnesses. Witnesses to this new life. We are people who go out to tell the good news, a message of God's love and grace, with confidence in our future. We go out to love and to serve as the body of Christ now in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we worship our Lord with great joy. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God of our salvation, by your power you raised Jesus Christ from death to life. And through his victory over the grave, we are set free from the bonds of sin and the fear of death to share in the glorious freedom of all the children of God. In his rising to life, you promised eternal life to all believe in him. So send your Spirit among us to make us confident witnesses of all that Christ has done, and fill us with joy and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.